Good morning. My name's Owen. I'm the pastor of our Grace Point Bird morning service, and it's a real pleasure and delight to have you join us this morning, especially those who are visiting us or new or here for the first time. It's a real pleasure to see you. And it's also a pleasure to see one of our newest born babies. So she wasn't quite born on Christmas Day. She was only born a few days ago. Sophie Stubbs is her name. So congratulations to you guys. And welcome to Sophie. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed seeing together with us this morning. It's been great to be reminded and to share in the sense of wonder and joy and awe as we're reminded about the first Christmas. The Christmas that we celebrate today. But as we sing these songs, as we come to this part of the year, I want to ask you this question. Do you ever have mixed feelings about Christmas? Do you ever have mixed feelings? Do you ever wonder, you know, what all this celebrating is actually about? Do you ever, think, you know, is it just the holiday season? Is it just a season for shopping? Are we celebrating the coming of Santa? Or is it just a silly season that we're all a part of and we're just relieved to come to the end of the year? Well, I wonder if you've ever felt jaded about all the Christmas fuss. Well, if you have, it's great if you've joined us this morning because it's an opportunity again to put Christ back into Christmas. And because, you know, what is it that Christ means? What is it that Christ within Christmas means? Christ literally means the King. It means God's anointed. It means God's chosen. So when we're saying Merry Christmas to each other, we're saying Merry Christmas. We're saying rejoice in the King. Rejoice in the King who was born. And he was born a king, not just as a figurehead, not just as a symbol, not just as a figure on our $5 notes or on the back of our coins. He was a king who had real authority and real power and real majesty. One of the first people who recognized and who took Jesus' kingship seriously was King Herod himself. King Herod was one of the greatest kings at that time. He was a powerful and successful king. He was known as a great administrator, a politician, a builder, which is why he was called Herod the Great. And he rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. He received the approval and support of Rome. And he was extremely powerful and successful. And yet we know that toward the end of his life, King Herod became increasingly paranoid. He became ill and he started being afraid of all the plots around him, to the extent that he killed off one of his wives. He killed off at least two of his sons. He was a king who was not only powerful, but he lived in fear. And so when these magi come, these wise men from the east, and when they come saying, "We've come to see the newborn king," how do you think he would have responded? Well, this is what we're told. He was greatly disturbed. Another king? Another threat to his power and authority? And Herod was not only completely stressed out and anxious, but the whole city was stressed out with him. See, when a king is stressed, the whole city is stressed because they're not sure what kind of crazy act of cruelty he's now going to commit. And this is how he felt. He felt threatened because this was another king who had come. And isn't it true for all of us? You know, we most of us don't mind a figurehead king. We don't mind a symbolic king who's on our $5 bills. But most people here don't really want a king who has any real authority over us. Most people don't want a king who will radically change their lives and make it uncomfortable. See, people would rather celebrate the coming of Santa. He's just make-believe. We'd rather celebrate the coming of Rudolph. We'd rather focus on the ham and the turkey and the presents. We'd rather take Christmas out of our greeting. We'd rather say, very merry, or season's greetings. See, this is Herod, who represents every person who fears another king, who is a threat to their own authority. And this is the first thing it means when we celebrate Christmas, that we recognize Jesus has power and authority over us. He has power and authority, not only over the Jews, but over every nation, over every people group. And we see this recognized by the Magi, the wise men from the East. They have a completely different reaction, don't they, to Herod? They respond with great joy. These Magi are astrologers or stargazers from Persia or from Babylon or Arabia. They've come all the way. And even the word Magi is where we get the word magician. See, they're people who have these special arts. They're stargazers. They're astrologers. And astrology is not something that's naturally approved of in the Bible. It's actually strange that these foreign stargazers would actually come. But God is using even their stargazing to bring this foreign delegation to Jerusalem. And God is bringing them to see his chosen king. And when Herod pretends to worship, to want to worship this king, and when he sends the Magi to Bethlehem, they go there completely innocent and naive. And when they go out again, when they again see the star, they're overjoyed. They're exuberant. In the ESV, this is how it puts it. They rejoiced exceedingly with a great joy. In other words, their joy was not just a ho-hum or a thank you kind of response, but it was a joy that was excessive. It was a joy that was full and overflowing. And when they came to the house where Jesus was, and what we need to notice here is that by this time, Jesus is actually no longer a baby. It's been 1 or 2 years since he's been born. He's now in a house. He's now probably a toddler. And so when you look at the nativity scenes, the historical reality is that the shepherds and the wise men were not really in the same house or in the same barn. And we actually weren't told whether there were 3 wise men or 2 or 10. But when they came to the house where Jesus and Mary and Joseph were living. And when they saw the boy, they came not only with great joy, but with the most expensive gifts they could offer him. Gold and myrrh and frankincense. The most expensive perfumes. Gifts for royalty. And not only did they give him their most expensive gifts, they bowed down to the ground. And they worshipped him and they acknowledged him as king. See, it wasn't just a formality for them, was it? It wasn't just a phone call to the new president-elect. But it was a full, wholehearted, sacrificial giving of themselves to this king. And I want to ask this morning, why this excessive giving? Why this excessive joy? Why would a group of foreign men, obviously wealthy, why would they come hundreds of miles? Why would they be searching? Why would they offer such worship to this person? And the answer is that somehow they knew that this was not only an incredibly great king, but he was an incredibly good king also. He was an incredibly good and great king. Now there are a lot of people in the world who recognize, you know, the goodness of Jesus. Even those who aren't Christians. One of these is a man called Leonard Cohen. I'm not sure how many of you have heard of him. He just passed away this year, and he's famous for having written one of the songs called Hallelujah. But I read a bit of his biography, and he actually had an interest in Jesus. And this is what he wrote about him. And he said that about Jesus, he says, "I'm very fond of Jesus Christ." It's interesting that he calls him Jesus Christ, because you see, Leonard Cohen himself was a Jew, but he wasn't a Christian. He says, "I'm very fond of Jesus Christ. He may be the most beautiful guy who walked the face of the earth. Any guy who says, 'Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek,' has got to be a figure of unparalleled generosity and insight and madness. Man who declared himself to stand among the thieves, the prostitutes, and the homeless. His position cannot be comprehended. It's too generous to understand. It is an inhuman generosity. A generosity that would overthrow the world." And this is what a non-Christian recognized about Jesus as he reviewed his life and his teaching. And yet, Leonard Cohen's view of Jesus didn't go far enough. See, he recognized the goodness of Jesus, but he didn't see that he was the king, that he was the one to whom he also owed his worship. And that's why it says here in Matthew chapter 2, what is recorded in the prophet Micah: "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." See, this is what the Old Testament prophesied. This is what God foretold even before Jesus was born, that there would be a king who would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be of the line of Judah, in the line of David, a kingly line. He'll be a king whom God has chosen and anointed. And he will be a shepherd over his people. He will not be one who exploits or abuses or destroys. But he would be one who would be a shepherd, who would even lay his own life down for his sheep. And Jesus, when he grows up, when he becomes teaching, when he even speaks about himself, this is what he says about his own kingship. He says, "For even the Son of Man," that is himself, "came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, this is the kind of kingship he is. This is the kind of kingship he has and that he demonstrates. His is a kingship in which he not only has authority and power, but he gives that authority and power away in order to serve and protect and to save his people. It's the complete opposite of Herod. Herod uses his power to destroy and protect and preserve his own power. Jesus uses his power to serve and to save his own people. And so this is what we celebrate this Christmas. See, we celebrate a king who has come. A king who has authority. a king who lays down his life for his sheep. And in the end, when we understand that Jesus is both a king and a shepherd, then there's only one of two responses that we can make to him. Only one of two ways we can respond to the true Christ of Christmas. Number one, it is to see him as a threat to our own authority. It is either to ignore him, to see him as not relevant, to celebrate Santa or Rudolph or anything else, rather than to celebrate him. It is to be either apathetic to him, or it is to seek to kill him like Herod did. But the other response, the other true response to who he is to do what the Magi did. Is to respond with exceeding, excessive joy. To bow down at his feet. It is to give him the most expensive gift possible. It is to recognize him as our King and our Lord and our Savior. And so this is what I want to invite you to remember this Christmas. And this is what I want to invite you to see about this Jesus. He's a king. He is the King. And even if he is the King, then he has authority. But it is authority that is good. And it is a kingship that we would want to submit to. We would want to obey him if we truly knew him. And so we're going to continue celebrating this King this morning as we continue singing our next few carols. And I'm going to invite our music team to come up and lead us as we sing.